لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا إلى لقاء الله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله: ولتقم منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينحون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. Before we start the proceedings of tonight's majlis, let's recite a surah al-Fatiha with 3 times surah Ikhlas for the mother of our friend here who has organized this majlis today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid walam yulad walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid walam yulad walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد ما صلى على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه. The verse of the Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse number 104, it says, let there arise out of you a band of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. They are the ones to attain felicity. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraj. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraj. So the discussion that we want to have today is based on this verse of the Holy Quran. As we know that we are going through the months of Muharram and Safar, and we know what Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam went through, the sacrifice, the great sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We want to discuss the goal of that sacrifice. What was the goal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Why did he do the uprising? And the explanations that we're going to try to give you, they're based on the explanations provided by Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I've referred to 2 books. The first one is the Insane de Visto Panja Saleh, which is a 250 years old man. And the second one is Hamrazmane Hussein. So predominantly most of the things that we're going to quote from Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, they are going to be from these 2 books. So the theme, if you want to inshallah look deeper into it, you can go in and read these books yourselves. Over there, the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he talks about the goal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the intention of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the motive of Imam Hussein alayhi salam behind this uprising. So there are some, according to the leader, there are some who say that this uprising was for the formation of a government, an Islamic government. This was the ultimate hadaf and goal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is one group of people, one group of scholars. And just to, you know, make it clear, that when we say that this is the opinion of scholars, we're not talking about layman's opinion. Because unfortunately, in today's time and age, we've gotten ourselves into this position where when it comes to Islam, everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants to express their own opinion. We have to keep in mind that when it comes to the field, the expertise are required to form an opinion. So we can't just go ahead and form an opinion because I have a hunch, I have a feeling, or I read something somewhere, based on that, I just formed my opinion, and now I'm telling and sharing that opinion with the world. When it comes to Islam, you have two ways to go about it. You either become an expert, so your opinion starts counting, or you follow an expert or quote an expert. These are the only two ways to go about it. Unfortunately, this is not what is being done in the world today. When it comes to Islam, everybody just somehow feels entitled to have an opinion. When we're talking about the opinion of this group of people that the leader is mentioning, they are the scholars, they are the esteemed scholars who have done years of research, and after that they have come to this conclusion that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did his uprising so he can form an Islamic government. This is one group. The second group, it says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did the uprising to attain martyrdom. The hadaf of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his uprising was to attain martyrdom, shahada. And we know that there are so many verses of Quran, there are so many ahadith that tell us about the fazilat of shahada, the martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this other group of ulama, this other group of scholars, they propose that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the ultimate goal of his uprising was to attain that martyrdom. Okay, so these are the two groups. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei himself, being an expert, he says that both of these ahdaf, both of these goals are partially correct. They're not the absolute and the ultimate goal. These goals are partially correct. But then he draws a difference between a goal and a consequence, a hadaf and a natije. He says these are two different things. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says that a goal is that ultimate motive which has provoked you to do something or not do something. Consequence is a result of you doing something or not doing something. There's a difference, right? So he draws our attention towards it, and that's probably why he's saying that they're partially correct. Yes, the consequence of Imam Hussein's uprising was going to be one of the two. One consequence would have been that he would have been able to form an Islamic government if he was apparently, physically victorious. And then the other consequence, let's say if he was not apparently and physically victorious, he was going to be martyred, which he was martyred. And after that, the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was taken captive. So he didn't get that physical victory right there in the battlefield of Karbala, 61 AH. Right? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his goal, his hadaf, is different than the consequence. These two things that are partially correct are both consequences. So what is the hadaf, right? We're going to talk about that. But for now, keep in mind that these two groups, and we see this in our societies too, when people discuss the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, some propose that he went because he knew shahadat is written for him. I don't want to go into this whole detail. He knew Allah wants him to be shaheed, and we have the ahadith. They're not just saying it baselessly, like we said before. These are scholars who are saying it. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was destined to be martyred in Karbala. So he rose up, he went there, got martyred, and tamam shud. This one group of scholars. The others, no. He was after attaining power, authority, government. right? Again, these both of these things are partially correct. Now, let's talk about the goal. According to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he lays out two goals of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His uprising was to achieve these two goals. Number one, to rectify the system and foundation of the Islamic society. There was an inharaf, there was a deviation, a big, huge deviation in Islamic society. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to fix the foundations of that. That's the first goal. The second goal is an uprising against deviations altogether in the Islamic society. So one is the foundation of the Islamic society. The other is kullan, this deviations. These are the two goals that the leader mentions in his tahleel of why Imam Hussein alayhi salam did the uprising. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Then the leader continues, he talks about the principle. Based on what Islamic principle did Imam Hussein alayhi salam did this uprising? See, this is another lesson for us. As we go, we're going to take those small little lessons for our own tarbiyah, right? When we do something in the name of Islam, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Imam of the time, anything, we have to have an Islamic principle behind it. If we form an opinion about anything, this is what I believe in. Well, sometimes in our cultures, you know, they say, oh, it is my aqidah. You know, don't talk about it. I don't want to discuss this. This is my aqidah. This is my belief. Well, Baba, how did you form your belief? Based on what? What's the foundation of your belief? Which Islamic principle are you basing your belief on? Is it just the poetry that you listen to? And then all of a sudden you have this belief about something. So a lesson for us is, especially being in the Hawza, being the students of the Hawza, anything that we start believing in, or we start promoting, or we start propagating, we should know the Islamic principles behind it, the Mabnai principles behind it, right? The leader says, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Mabna, which provoked him to do what he did as a responsibility, was Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. And this goes back to the verse we recited, right? Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the atam misdaq of somebody who did Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. This principle, although when we do the classification in the Hawza too, and in the textbooks we read and we study, let's do some Hawzavi talk, right? When we study and we read these Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, it's in the Furu'ud Deen, right? It's not in Usul, right? But according to Shaheed Mutahri and many other ulama, it is an asl of Islam. Yes, it's not in that traditional classification of Usuluddin, but Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is the asl of Islam. If bidding the good and forbidding the evil, it was practiced by the Islamic Ummah, if it was practiced by the Islamic scholars, if it was practiced by the Islamic students of the Hawza and the seminary, many other problems would have been rectified automatically. This is how it becomes the asl. And if you look at the system in the West, what do? They come up with something that is completely opposite to it. In the name of privacy, in the name of it's my life, and we know the philosophies that they're pushing for and they're preaching. Why are you intervening in my life? As they say, betochi. Right? In Iran, that's how they say it. Betochi. We have to realize, maybe not always, but in most of the cases, this, betochi, what does that have to do with you? Why are you intervening in my life? It's the zid of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. This individualistic lifestyle that we have developed and this mindset we have developed. You know, we have privacy of children now at our homes. Right? How do you do Amr bil Ma'ruf if you don't intervene in somebody else's business. So if I'm doing something wrong, you have to, it's your religious responsibility to step up and do the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. If you don't do it, I'm just going to gain more audacity, jur'at. This is how it works. You know, from the biggest of the tawaghit in the world, all the way to our individual lives. If we stop doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, then we have lost the plot. It is an open ground for all the zalimeen, for all the oppressors in the world to do whatever they feel like doing. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam, based on this asl, based on this principle, he did and launched his uprising. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. There are three lessons that we would like to mention today, again from what Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei has mentioned, taking from the Karbala, from this whole event of Karbala, we gain three lessons. One is basira. Basira is sometimes, you know, foresight, sometimes insight, you know, it's loosely translated, but basira is of utmost importance. And sometimes when we talk about basira, and we talk about those who are bi-basirat, we sometimes, in our minds, which is wrong, and I'm going to rectify it, we sometimes get to this conclusion that anybody who is bi-basirat, there is a talazum between this and him being fasik and fajir. That's not a necessary talazum there. He could be apparently a very religious person, praying five times a day, doing namaz ishab, right? Charity in the way of Allah, fasting, hajj, ziyarat, right? All of these qualities, which are good to have, they could exist in this person, but at the end of the day, there still is a chance that this person is bi-basirat. He lacks that foresight. And if we look at history, and I'm sure you all know better than I do, Sulaiman ibn Surad al-Khazai. He lacked basira. He just didn't know when to make that right decision to accompany the naib of Imam. If we look at today, in today's world, what's happening? We have many religious people, many scholars, but they don't have basira. So when we look at Imam Khomeini, back at the time of revolution, we see that many ulama did not accompany him. They did not say labbaik to his call. Why? Well, they were religious, they were wearing turban, they were wearing libas. They knew their sarf and nahv and mantik and usul and falsafa, everything, they know it. And they knew it. Shahid Sadr, on the other hand, in Iraq, did the ulama accompany him? No. Isn't it the same thing repeating? Do you think Sulaiman ibn Surad al-Khazai at that time, when he left Muslim bin Aqil alone, which was a game changer by the way, do you think he was not a religious scholar? He knew religion. He knew it inside out. And we're going to talk about some other fuqaha of that time. It's the same thing today. When it comes to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the things he is talking about, the things he is pushing for, what is our response to that? He talks about Islamic unity. What are we doing to promote Islamic unity in the societies? Are we actively participating on that front? Are we being a support for him? Or are we just leaving him alone? It requires basira to accompany the leadership. It requires basira to accompany the masoom or his naib, his deputy, right? And this is something which is unfortunately lacking in the Islamic world, predominantly. This basira, just know, just remember that somebody who lacks basira is not necessarily an irreligious person or a secular person, or, you know, he goes to go and loot people or, you know, do wrong things. No, not necessarily. He could be in this very libas. He could be sitting on the minbar. This is a lesson for us to learn. The second lesson the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, mentions is knowing the fundamental reasons of why Imam Hussein alayhis salam launched his uprising. Right? We have to know this reason. He was well respected in Makkah. We all know that. Imam Hussein alayhis salam, his fazail, they were said by Prophet himself in the public, in Masjid al-Nabi, everywhere, right? He was well respected in Medina, right? Then he rises, he gets up from there and goes to Makkah. What compelled him? If I were to ask you a question, right? Respectfully to all the brothers here, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was spreading Islam. He was all set in Medina. It was his hometown. People were converting to Islam. People were praying. People were doing all good things. And he was being a grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was being helpful for other people to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khali harfe, right? What compelled him? Why did he get up? He had food there, he had water there, he had comfort there. Ali Akbar was alive, Ali Asghar was alive. The women, they were at home. They were all protected, all respected. What compelled Imam Hussein alayhi salam to do what he did? The question is, when we talk about Karbala, yes, we talk about Karbala in terms of, you know, what happened on the 10th of Muharram. Yes, it's very important. We do discuss it, right? We shed tears because Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not given water. Ali Asghar alayhi salam was not given water. They didn't have food. They were mercilessly martyred. But the question is, before the 10th of Muharram, why in the world Imam Hussein alayhi salam, having all the comforts, a normal regular life, why did he rise up against Yazid? What compelled him? We have different pain from the pain of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Our pain starts on the day of Karbala. It starts with Ashura. And rightly so, it should be focused. I'm not saying we forget about Ashura. What was the pain of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? What was that sense of responsibility that we are unable to inculcate and grow in ourselves? Why is it that today's Taghut, today's Yazid, today's Fir'aun, they are freely doing what they want to do? But today's Husseinis are silent. Today's Husseinis are busy in their dars, in their mubahasas. This is how we have become, right? And I'm saying it to myself, with all due respect to all the brothers and elders. And it's about realization. When are we going to get our act together? The leader is waiting. He has said and done the necessary things that are supposed to be done. Where is our response to our leader? Do you think our lives are going to be same if Imam of the time reappears right now? Please recite a salawat. If Imam of the time reappears right now, do you think I'm going to have the same schedule, same lifestyle? From classes to mubasas, to haram, to jamkaran, to classes to mubasa, to haram, to jamkaran, and the family, of course. Or my responsibilities are going to be beyond this. This is something everybody has to do, even like a normal student in Qom has to do. If we are studying in the hawza, if we are wearing this libas, if we consider ourselves to be the waris of anbiya, our responsibility cannot just stop at haram and jamkaran and ziyarat and family and dars and mubahasa. It has to be more than that. Now what that is, I'm not going to spell out. I'm no one to spell out. This is where we discuss with our teachers what our responsibility is. But one thing we know for sure is that supporting the Islamic leadership is at top of that responsibility list. no matter whether we're doing the rest of the things or not. That we know for sure. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was conveniently, with all due respect, you know, as compared to the 10th of Muharram, he was in Medina. He should have stayed there. And guess what? There were people, if we look at the history, there were people who came and told Imam Hussein alayhi salam the same thing I'm saying right now. And they were not bad people, to be honest. Like, if I were to take some names, it was Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya. He was not a bad person. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Zubair. These people, and they were considered to be, with all due respect, they were considered to be the ulama and the fuqaha of that time. They came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam when they found out what Imam Hussein alayhi salam has planned and what he's about to do. They came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, O Sayyid al-Shuhada, well, at that time, Imam Hussein, O Hussein ibn Ali, don't do this. You can just stay here. Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you can actually go to Yemen. They are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. They are strong there. We know that Yazid is after your blood. He has already said either Hussein's head or his pledge of allegiance. Just go to Yemen, you know, be there, hide there. Some people said, came and told him that, you know, go to Kaaba and just take refuge because nobody can shed the blood there. So go to Kaaba and take refuge. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was advised by these people. Well, another lesson that we want to draw here as we go for ourselves, you don't advise the leader of the ummah, let it be a ma'soom imam or the deputy of imam. You submit to them. I don't know when we're going to learn. People at that time, they were coming to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Agha do this, Agha do this, Agha don't do this, Agha don't do this. Well, is he the imam or you are the imam? He's supposed to tell you what needs to be done, what should be done and what should not be done. It's nothing but logical, right? But no, people out of all sincerity, they're going to imam to tell him what to do. Don't we see the same thing today? In chaharta kitab ki mi khuna inja tu hoze. And we go, no, Hazrat Agha in irad dare, inja mushkil dare. Yani chi. Leader should have done this. The leader should have done that. Ayatollah Khamenei, he's a good person, but why did he not do something? Putting him under question, even with this corona vaccine thing. You're looking at it. We need to get our act together as an ummah. We need to learn how to submit. Submit to the deputy of imam, which is an exercise for us to be able to submit to the hujjah of the time, Imam Mahdi Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajah Sharif. The third lesson that the leader mentions here is we need to learn how to support the hujjah of the time under any circumstances. This is the third lesson. We have to be able to, and we have to learn, we have to practice, we have to be mentally prepared to be able to support the imam of the time, the hujjah of the time, under any circumstances. When the chips are high, it's very easy. Ya Imam, and then you would, and I would, you know, we would recite Maddahi for Imam and Imam's Fazail and everything. But when the chips are down, when Islam is endangered, when Imam is endangered, when his naib is endangered, we want to go defend Islam outside, we talk about tashayyu, but how many of our preachers, and this is a question, how many of our preachers go out for tabligh and defend Iran today? The Islamic Iran, the system of Wilayatul Faqih. How many? We need to get our act together. We need to know. We're defending, but we're defending something that was to be defended 1400 years ago. If I were to ask you a question, a genuine question, if you're living in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Yazid is after Imam Hussein's head. And you're defending Ali alayhi salam and not accompanying Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam was an infallible Imam. Right? You're defending his right, but you're not accompanying the Hujjat of your time, the Imam of your time, the Wali of your time. Do you think it has any value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a very genuine question, which I think is a no-brainer for all of us. Just go in 61 Hijrah and look at what Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going through. He's calling people towards himself and to help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're busy reciting a manqabat for Ali alayhi salam. And then they're expecting that I'm going to be rewarded by abandoning the hujjat of the time, the imam of the time. If we are, the lesson, the conclusion, if we are turning our backs on the imam of the time, his deputy, the mushkilat and the problems that Islam is going through today, the challenges from Yemen to Palestine, to Bahrain, to Africa, to Sheikh Zakzaki, all of these are the fronts. If we are not, Syria was there, you saw that, Iraq was there, it was burning, and we were busy sitting here studying. If we are not on that forefront, if we're not defending Islam today, this means we are turning our back on the Imam of the time. And we are busy reciting the manqabat and majlis of Imams who passed away and who were martyred 1400 years ago. Do you think it's going to be acceptable? We leave the Hussein of our time alone, and at the same time, we feel content. We feel that, yeah, we fulfilled our responsibility. I think it's very simple for anyone. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, by the way, this too, since we mentioned it, when he was advised by these people, you know, Imam's response when they said, go hide in Kaaba, take refuge, or go to Yemen, there are believers. Or the third thing was, go hide in caves, which I did not mention. So they are advising the Imam of dignity, the Imam of respect, to go and hide in caves. The Imam of Shuja'at, the Imam of bravery, they're telling him to go and hide in caves to save his life. Imam said, Uffin lihadha al-kalam. Woe unto this speech. Woe unto this advice. You're telling Hussein ibn Ali? We saw just recently Shaheed Qasim Soleimani. See, this is how we need to learn from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, when they were threatening him that you're going to be shot and all that, he's like, you're making me afraid with these bullets, these bombs? Shaheed Soleimani was not a ma'soom. Shaheed Hujaji was not a ma'soom. We need to get real. We need to realize where we stand. We're just happy that, oh, alhamdulillah, I got up from, you know, this Darul Kufr, or maybe, you know, this Fasik Nizam, and I'm living under the system of Wilayatul Faqih, and that's it. Alhamdulillah, I've done something huge. I could have been a businessman, I could have been a, you know, accountant, I could have been an engineer, and alhamdulillah, I'm so proud of myself that I've come here. We're fooling ourselves. By coming here, we've actually signed up for something more dangerous. We could have, being outside, we could have gotten off the hook that, Imam, sorry, I didn't know enough. I was paying my khums, you know, I was doing my azadari, I was fasting, you know. I just didn't know enough. Maybe at that point Imam says, okay, you know, we're merciful towards you. We will do your shafaat. We tell Imam Mahdi alayhi salam this. What is he going to tell us? You had all the books. You had all the teachers. You were looking at the shuhada. What did you do with your life? What are we going to say? What's our response? What's our defense? Brothers, I apologize to all of you for being up here. You're better than me in your taqwa, in your basirat. The brother insisted and I couldn't say no. But I apologize, I truly do apologize. It's just a realization, we're having a discussion. Fine, it's one way at this moment. What is our defense in front of Imam? What is our plan? Which mahaz and which front of Islam are we fighting on? Nobody is saying that all of us should just get up, get the AK-47, go to Syria, No, everybody has their own taklif. But the question is, out of all the fronts that are open against Islam, where are we fighting? Which front are we fighting on? Are we fighting on soft war? On the front of soft war? Are we fighting on the front of military hard war? Are we fighting on the front of academic war? You know, we go out and we start looking for the experts in Kalam-e Jadeed out of our own people. You don't find pretty much no one. We go looking for people who are good in social sciences. You don't find no one. Again, I'm not saying that there's no one. We're not finding anyone. We have to pick, and this is the gist of it, this is the summary of it. As a humble student of the Hawza, as your brother, as your comrade, we have to pick some front to fight on and then not look right, left, and center. We just focus on that front and give our lives on that front. This is what is required from us. Be a soldier on academic front. Be a soldier on the hard war front. Be a soldier on the soft war front. But for that, we have to come out of our life of convenience. Being in the mode of convenience and being a supporter and the nasir of wilaya, these two things, they cannot be added together. Nemisha jamkart. And we have to understand this. We're living in some sort of a fantasy world where we think neither we have like 8 to 10 hours of a job like regular normal people have in India, in Pakistan, and other places. We're not doing that to earn our living. We're not doing business like a businessman who's killing himself, you know, from morning till night. What is our excuse? Why are we not doing all of that? Hey, we're studying. Well, at least be good at our studies. If that's what our excuse is, then be a soldier of Imam Zaman alayhi salam on this front, on the academic front. Who do we have to fight the secularism today? Feminism is growing in Islamic lands. What's our game plan? These are the things that we all have to think together. I had some other points to discuss, some critical points. I don't know how out of time we are. Recite a salawat. You have time? If you allow, very quickly, there are four critical points that we have listed here from Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei again. To ponder and introspect. It is an invitation for all of us to, including myself, starting from myself, to ponder and introspect what transpired, what happened, and why these points are so critical. The first point is, what happened that after 50 years of the demise of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite the salawat. What happened that after 50 years of the departure of Prophet from this world, Imam Hussain alayhi salam was brought to Karbala and he was killed? How can a community get to a point? What transpired back then that the Ummah stooped so low that they were okay with Yazid being their ruler? We thought it was the ummah that witnessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. Are we not seeing worse things today? The Yazidi system, because Yazid was, he was just a man, he was just a person, right? It's the system of Yazidiyat. Do we not see the Yazidi system has taken over the world? Pretty much. What transpired back in the day that the Ummah stooped so low that they accepted Yazid, someone like Yazid, to be their head of state, their ruler, their hakim, their wali? And these were Muslims, by the way. These are the people who recited the kalima. The role of khawas, right? This is another thing. Again, these are just the closing statements. Something for all of you brothers to, inshallah, go home with and think about these things. The role of khawas. Unfortunately, we live in times where khawas are so self-centered that they are okay, the deputy of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, to be left alone while they have their empire well established, well running. And wherever they see that the wali of the time, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has said something that is jeopardizing their interests, they start talking bad about him. This is how the khawas have become today, from the ulama and non-ulama, unfortunately. Why? Is it not because of the hubbud dunya? Is it not because of that love of the world that we are ready to leave the Muslim bin Aqeel of our time? And according to actually Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, he's the Hussein of our time. He said it twice last year or year before. He said it twice on 9th and 10th of Muharram. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, he referred to Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei as Hussein of our time. And rightly so. Anybody who's standing up against the system of Yazidiyat, and this is, these are the things we need to understand and then be able to explain to people. Anybody who stands up against the system of oppression, against the system of arrogance, and he is holding the banner and the flag of Islam, he is the Hussein of the time. And this is our duty to be able to explain it to people. But how many of our muballighin are doing that when they go for tabligh? And I don't get it. Why not? Role of khawas, brothers. And after coming to the Hawza, after studying at the madrasa, fortunately or unfortunately, the likes of us, they get counted as khawas. We have a huge responsibility. Sulaiman ibn Sulad al-Khazai, if he would not have turned his back on Imam Hussein's naib and deputy at that time, history would have been different. It's about the timing. It's about realizing. Goes back to the Basira point that we talked about earlier. They did give the sacrifice in the end. But I don't know what the result of that is. Now you give the sacrifice, we can only pray for you. But on the other hand, those who were with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they gave the sacrifice, we call them alayhi salam. There's a huge difference. So it is not only about giving the sacrifice either. It is giving the sacrifice for the right reason, with the right intentions, at the right time. They did give the sacrifices. They did fight. And they said, we're going to give our lives. We made a mistake. So we can only pray for them. The Tawabin were 4,000 or 6,000. There are different traditions. 4,000 to 6,000 people. They gave their lives. They fought and gave their lives. We can only pray for them. May Allah forgive them. May Allah accept from them. But those who were in Karbala, Imam Reza alayhi salam, he says to his companion, don't even dare compare yourselves to those who were in Karbala, those who were with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his companions. This is how great they were. But we need to know when Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah Hafadahu Allah says that al-yawm al-yamanu ka Karbala. He said it. Do you think he's doing poetry there? And do you think we're just going to sit here and do the tajziya and tarkeeb of this? Is this what our responsibility is? Today, Yemen is ka Karbala, just like Karbala, misle Karbala. 7 years, these innocent Yemenis, they're being pounded, they're being attacked by the system of kufr and nifaq together. What is our response? What is our activity? Fine, we are academics. Let's talk about that. We are academics. Have we done anything to unveil the makruh and the kasif and the najas face of the Saudis? Have we? Have we written like a pamphlet? We are academics, right? We are studying at the Hawza. Have we written a pamphlet? Have we delivered a speech? Have we informed people about the crimes of the Saudi regime and the Zionists who are making them do what they're doing? This is what I meant when I said, if we are academics, we are studying at the Hawza, at least be present on that front. Oh, we can't leave it all alone and vacuum. A fighter who's fighting in Syria, who's fighting in Iraq, we don't expect him to come and do the academic work. He's not expected to. He's doing his duty. He's giving his life. He has left his family. It is our duty. And I don't know why in the Hawza, generally speaking, these things are not being talked about. I don't know. Or maybe they are being talked about and I just don't know. The last point I'm just going to make real quick and go to the masaib, if you allow. Love of this world, brothers and sisters, if they're there. You know, one sentence I'm going to say, I've written it down here. The hubbud dunya, the love of this world, if the awam and khawas, they get addicted to this love of this world, the natija, the result is, the consequences, the shahadat of Hujjat Khuda. So we're playing with fire. Our love of this dunya can result in the shahadat of the Hujjat of Allah or His deputy. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. When Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha come towards the slaughterhouse of Karbala, she saw a body there. This was this last body she's about to witness. It was the body of her brother on the plains of Karbala, under the scorching heat of sun. Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha walks towards the body. She sees the body and turns towards Medina. She turns towards Medina. She says, Ya Rasulullah, look at this body. This is your Hussein. This is Hussein, except for when he came to Karbala, his head was on his body. This is your Hussein, whose head has been cut off and chopped off. Bibi says, I have no complaints, Ya Rasulullah, but this is what I'm witnessing.
This is your Hussein. This is your son Hussein. This is your grandson Hussein. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Assalamu alayka wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. Alaykum minni jamian. Salamu alayhi abada. Ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar. The Bibi says, his head is chopped off from his body. And his body is soaked in blood. This is Hussein ibn Ali, the son of Fatima. Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, agar talash hai Imam Sajjad alayhi salam nabood, shahadat Imam Hussein alayhi salatu was salam zaye shude bood, wa asare an nemi man. That if it was not for the efforts of Imam Sajjad, the shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam would have been wasted. Why? Because its asar would not have stayed. Brothers and sisters, what did Imam Sajjad alayhi salam do? Just think about Imam Sajjad on the day of Ashura, leaving with the ladies, the kids. How hard it was for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to not be martyred. Banu Hashim were so prepared for martyrdom. All of our imams were always so prepared for martyrdom. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, just think about him. He knows the fazila. He knows the merits of being martyred. Yet, he is not martyred on this day. His comrades are martyred. The ashab are martyred. Ahlul Bayt are martyred. He leaves there with the ladies. He was taken as a captive. What did Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam do? And this is something, you know, I wish we understood. Rahmah said that the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam would have been wasted. So what did Imam Sajjad alayhi salam do? Brothers, sisters, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam turned this movement, this sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam into a movement. This is what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam do. This is what he did. He turned it into a movement. The blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not wasted because of Sajjad alayhi salam and Zainab salamullah alayha. They turned it into a movement. He turned the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Just imagine how difficult it was for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to see all that went through in Karbala. He witnessed that. All that went through on the way to Sham. All that went on in Sham and all that went on in the prison. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam saw all this. Yet he did not lose his focus. Look at the commitment with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After seeing all this, he did not lose his focus. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he stayed focused on the prestige and dignity of Islam, on making Islam stronger. He kept his focus on saving Islam. He kept his focus on defending Islam. He kept his focus on annihilation of kufr. He fought the kufr. Those who think or propose or perceive that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did not do anything other than praying and shedding tears, they are either ignorant or irresponsible people who want to escape the responsibility of defending Islam and Muslims. That's why they say something like this to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was an imam. His responsibility was no different than the responsibility of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hence, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was mercilessly martyred by the enemies of Islam while he was fulfilling his duties and responsibilities. Na'udhu billah that we think that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was just sitting in a corner crying. No, he was active. He was actively working for the betterment of the ummah. He was actively fighting the system of oppression. This is who Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was. And for the mourners of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, know your imams, recognize your imams. They fulfill their responsibility only. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلِبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ. Soon will the wrongdoers know the end that they shall reach. Ya Allah, guide us to be prepared for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Qa'im, who will fill this earth with justice and equity the way it is filled with oppression and tyranny today. Ya Allah, enable us to relieve the oppressed from the oppression of the oppressors. Ya Allah, give long life to the sincere scholars, our teachers, fuqaha, and especially to the leader Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Ya Allah, protect the system of Wilayatul Faqih. Ya Allah, strengthen the Islamic Republic. Ya Allah, protect the defenders of Islam and the defenders of the shrines. Ya Allah, free the believers from the unjust imprisonment of the kuffar. Ya Allah, give shifa to the sick. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim.